It's The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. Emergency rooms and intensive care units are terrifying, almost violent places. Efforts to save a life can sometimes look and feel like the opposite. And many patients who return from the brink of death struggle with their experiences. A growing body of research looks into post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of intensive care. Laura Benchoff reports.
We're in a medical intensive care unit of Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, perched in a glass tower above a neighborhood of two-story row homes. This is where the sickest patients come when the emergency room can't do enough to keep them alive. Dale Needham is a critical care doctor at Hopkins.
Our patients may typically come in with severe infections, like pneumonia. Our patients may have organs that already don't work very well. They may have kidneys, liver, or lungs that don't work very well.
Doctors, nurses, and specialists here throw everything they've got at critical illness.
A Foley catheter, intubation. Through their vocal cords, into their trachea. Sedation, norepinephrine or dopamine. Large intravenouses, 20 centimeters long.
Despite all of these efforts, between 10 and 20% of patients admitted to most ICUs in the U.S. die. For some patients, the trauma of being close to death and the invasive treatments required to pull a patient back leave an emotional scar, post-traumatic stress disorder.
PTSD symptoms are quite common in ICU survivors. They may be as common as PTSD symptoms after active combat or after sexual assault.
Different hospitals use different scales, but between 24 and 42% of ICU survivors report symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. These symptoms include intrusive memories, trouble focusing, anxiety, and depression. And these effects last. Needham says that's a huge setback for patients in recovery.
So the impacts of PTSD certainly are very clear that patients had worse quality of life.
Garfield Griffin knows that firsthand. 3 years ago, Griffin was happily married, putting in long hours as the manager of a grocery store and raising his son Gavin. He was 39.
You know, I can hit the gym at 6, go to work by 7:30, get off at 6:30, hang out for a little while, throw the ball with my son, get up and do it all over again the next day.
Then Griffin got sick.
I thought I just had maybe a bad cold or maybe the flu. I've heard people have pneumonia, but I've never heard anybody go through what I've gone through.
Griffin spent 3.5 weeks in a Prince George's County intensive care unit, battling severe pneumonia. Doctors put a breathing tube down his throat and heavily sedated him, both practices associated with post-traumatic stress. While there, Griffin, like many ICU survivors, became delirious.
Nightmares, dreams, visions of just about any and everything you can possibly imagine. Visions of, you know, kids running around with animal heads. I don't mean to be too drastic, but I had thought that somebody cut my penis off. You know, I thought the people that were caring for me weren't. I thought they were trying to kill me. Blood circles, dark red blood circles, dripping blood.
Sick and scared, Griffin tried to fight back.
They actually had me locked down to the bed because I don't think that I would allow anybody to touch the breathing tube at some point in time.
Lucky for Griffin, he recovered from pneumonia, but he couldn't shake the bad memories. Back at home, Griffin had trouble putting his life back together. He took a year off work. His marriage faltered.
It's like you're in a funk. How am I going to get up to do anything when I can't see myself getting better? You know, I can't see myself breathing better. I can't see myself getting stronger.
During that year, Griffin decided to talk to a therapist. Through Dr. Needham, he joined a PTSD support group.
There were people that never made it back to work because of anxiety or fear of either getting sick again or getting yourself back in that position.
Back at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Needham and his colleagues want to prevent PTSD in the first place. Here's researcher Ann Parker.
The only intervention that was shown to substantially and significantly reduce PTSD symptoms in ICU survivors is the intensive care unit diary.
The diaries, kept by friends and family, describe what happens to a patient in the ICU. That way, when patients recover, they have a clear picture of their care, written by people they know and trust. ICU diaries are common practice in Northern Europe, but U.S. hospitals have been slower to adopt the technique. Here's Needham reading an example from the U.K.
This diary is being written to help you understand what's happened to you in the intensive care unit. Your condition deteriorated, and you were found to have stopped breathing and needed resuscitation.
Johns Hopkins will launch its own pilot ICU diary program in the fall. As for Garfield Griffin, he says he's moved on, but now doesn't take his life for granted.
It's not a day go by I don't think about that. I mean, to be that close to death, and it makes you appreciate life even more.
For The Pulse, I'm Laura Benchoff.